Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, Chulin Daf Tzadik Tes. We are holding on Tzadik Chesem at base, two lines from the bottom, right in the middle of a discussion. You see, we had the Karban Shlomim called the Eil Nazar, the ram that the Nazar brings at the Karban Shlomim, a portion of which, the Zraya, the forearm, is granted to the Kohen and is meant to be consumed by the Kohen and the Kohen only. So it's not really permissible for a ordinary Yisrael to eat. The thing is that they would cook it together. What happens to the flavor that was transported from that portion, which is the Kohen's only, to the rest of the pot? The answer is bittul. It gets nullified due to its obscurity, due to its smallness in size and quantity. We had two versions. Either there is 60 times as much, so the rest of the animal contains in its mass and its volume 60 times as much as the questionable material, or perhaps even 100, depending on which mode of calculation you adopt. In any case, we learn from there that all isurim, or all forbidden matter, mixed into permissible matter, becomes batal provided you have 60 times as much, or 100 times as much, depending on your stance. Now, the Braisa did add a comment to this whole presentation by saying, Zehu heter, this is an example of a permissibility of a heter, habo mechlal issa, which is an exceptional thing, something out of the ordinary, something unusual. And the question is, in what way? We had one approach yesterday. Here comes Rava with another approach in understanding this comment of the Braisa. What's unusual about the bittul that takes place in the Eil Nazar? Two lines from the bottom. Rava amar lenitzrucha. It's needed for the following point. El latam ki'ikar, the Bekachim Asr. When you have just flavor, so you have something problematic that gets dissolved, so you don't have it intact anymore, it's just the flavor, it's the tam, it's the bliya, the taste, that's tam. To treat the tam like ikar, as though the primary material is still there, that's a chiddush. We don't do that, according to Rashi's approach, we don't do that by anything other than karbanos, by regular chulin, regular, materials that are mixed with each other. Mina Torah, unless you have the actual prohibited material in front of you, the mere flavor and taste imparted from that material does not affect, does not adversely impact its mix or the rest of the pot. It's only Midrabanan that we say so, but Mina Torah, we don't say Tam, the flavor is Ki'ika, regarded like the primary material, except by karbonis. The Bekachim, when it comes to a mix regarding karbonis, like the Eil Nazar, Asr, carbon is so important, so chashav, so prominent, that even a tam emanating from a carbon is considered like, as though the item is still there. And here we're saying otherwise. Kamash Malon. Comes the Braisa, comes the Pasuk, and tells us the Hachashari. Here, although we're speaking about carbon materials, we allow bittul to nullify it. So this is an exceptional case. So again, according to Rava, when it comes to taroves of chulin, if it's just the tam, min ha-Torah, it's mutar, min ha-Rabbanon, it's asr, you need 60 or 100, depending on your, In contrast to karbanos, where tam is regarded as ikur min ha-Torah, and according to Rashi's approach, Tosfos disagrees, according to Rashi's approach, even a minute, barely discernible flavor coming out of that questionable carbon material must be reckoned with. There's no bittul at all, even if you overwhelm it with 100, with 60. But here we do. We do allow for bittul to take place. Okay, we'll move on to the next daf. V'ligma minei. Now comes the question. So why don't we learn other carbon mixes from the case of the Eil Nazar, where we say that a bittul can nullify if it's 60 or 100, right? So in other cases, if you have like nice or pigal, you know, forbidden carbon materials, why can't we apply bittul? The answer is gali rachmanik avichatas. The Torah reveals to us regarding echatas. If a, let's say a shlamim absorbs from echatas, even a drop, kola asher yiga b'vsara, anything which touches the flesh of the chatas and absorbs, even a drop yigdash, gets sanctified accordingly, gets the same status as the flavor that came from the chatas. Leo is kaimaya, it's regarded as the chatas. Shim psul of the chatas was for some reason pasul. Let's say it was nicer, it's a pasul, so the meat that absorbed from that flavor also becomes pasul. Im ksheira, if the chatas was A-OK, it's just that it has a shorter lifespan, has a shorter, you know, expiration date in terms of its consumption time, only, you know, the day of the hakrav and the following night. Likewise, te'achal kecham shabbos, so the shlamim that absorbed from that has to be eaten accordingly in a shortened, you know, time span. Hence, we learn that a tam coming from a carbon does not become nullified. Okay, so now you're faced with a choice. You can learn other carbon issues from chatas to say that there's no bittul. You can learn from Eil Nazir, there is bittul. Who's to say which way you're going to go? My chatas, why do you prefer the gamrina mihash to learn from chatas? There's no bittul. There's no nullification process by karbanes. Ligmar mehai, just learn from the Eil Nazir where there is a bittul process, even though it's a carbon. Chidushu. The answer is, you can't learn from Eil Nazir. There's a special leniency, a special anomaly that we find unusual and unique to Eil Nazir. Rashi explains, what's the chiddush? The lechatchila says Rashi mvatlina le. You know, typically, we're not allowed to initiate a bittul process. You can't take an unkosher piece of meat, throw it to the pot and say bittul. Oh, you can't do that. Ein mevatlin isu lechatchila. And here we do it. We cook. We actively go ahead and cook the Zeroya b'sheila with the Nazir's aisle. So the Torah allows for that initiation of the bittul experience. That's something unusual. So you can't learn from there. From a chiddush, from an exceptional, out of the ordinary case like Amrina, we can't learn from there. Perhaps because it has, you know, one leniency, it has the other leniency as well. There's bittul, so we can't really compare to there. Yachi. If you're regarding this as an exceptional case, then you can't learn anything from there. So how do we learn the numbers, the formulas, right? As per yesterday, we learned that by, you know, chulin, when there is a bittul, how much do you need? 60 times as much, 100 times as much, and it's learned from the Eil Nazir, which is 60. How can you learn from there? It's an anomaly, it's an exceptional, unique case. Yachi lemeya, regarding the number 100, b'shishim, or 60, nami, there too, loy ligmar. We shouldn't be able to learn. Says the Gemara, that you could. You know why? It's not a leniency. It's actually a chumrah. So it makes sense to say that Eil Nazir cannot provide a precedent regarding leniencies, because it in itself is a very unusual leniency, and perhaps that's why it has other leniencies as well. But suppose we're trying to learn a chumrah, that you could do. If anything, just the opposite. If even Eil Nazir, which has certain elements of leniency to it, which allows, you know, the bittul chatchila still requires 60 or 100, which we're going to see in a minute is really a chumrah. Certainly other instances require 60 or 100. Okay, so that works. So the Gemara atu anan l'kulu kangarminan. When we adopt a 60 or the 100 formula from the Nazir, are we trying to apply a leniency? Are we trying to import something which is a kula? It's the opposite. L'chumrah kangarminan. We're importing a strictness. Why is it a strictness? Because you know minat Torah, why would you even need to come to these numbers of 60 or 100? Just go with the majority. You have a pot, some kosher, some non-kosher, you follow the majority. That sets the tone. That establishes the status of the whole mix, right? Just like in the Bezdin, right? The plurality, most of the judges, they set the tone. They establish the halacha. In the base medrash, most of the chachamim, right? You go with the raif. So if most of the pot's good, pot's okay. The midrash, the ruba batam, and I tell you, it would say majority nullifies the minority. That would be our baseline notion. So now that we go to Eil Nazir and we learn, no, you need 60 or 100 times as much, that's actually an upgrade, it's a chumrah, and that you can learn. Okay, Ravina Amar, here comes another pshat. To explain what that Brisa had in mind with that comment, that the Eil Nazir exhibits Betel, but this is an unusual case. What's so unusual about it? Ravina Amar Linisruch, it's only needed Elamakim Chatach. It's referring to the cutoff point between the forearm of the ram and the ram itself. So that connecting point, that dividing point. The Amar Mar, as we learned several times, Makam Chatach, the place where you actually slice, the face of the material which is facing the forbidden part that was removed from it, is also Ba'alma, typically it's Asr, like, you know, in the case of the unborn fetus who stuck his hand out, you have to remove the arm, and also that face of the animal which is facing, which was touching, which was in contact, also relates to the forbidden matter. That's the standard procedure of Achashari. In this case, it's okay, meaning the Zroya that was removed from the Eil Nazir, although the Zroya is specific to the Kohen, it's meant for the Kohen only, but the Mokem Chatach on the rest of the animal, you know, the face of the cut, is not considered forbidden. Okay, so that's the exception. Continues the Gemara. So now we're going to relate again back to the Shita, that Bittel needs to have 100. So it needs to be one Isser embedded in 100 permissible portions for a total of 101, and that nullifies the Isser. Yosef Rav Dimi. So Rav Dimi was sitting in Karmar Lashmait, is saying over this halacha the 100 formula. Only Abai. Says Abai, really? You mean that Isser needs 100 to be nullified? But now listen to this Mishnah where it seems that 60 is enough. Atnah. Lema Amru. With regards to what did the Chachamim teach us? That when the forbidden matter imparts flavor in the rest, kala machamitz, if you have, let's say, sourdough mixed into a regular dough, now we're talking that the sourdough is truma material, only fit for a kayin, it got mixed into a regular, ordinary dough, and it fermented it, kala machamitz, vametabel, or you have seasoning of truma mixed into a regular pot of food, umudameya, or you have truma material cooked together with chulin material. So there are two possibilities. One route is lahachmer, that were very strict. That's by min umina. When both materials are of the same type, the same flavor, the same taste, in that case there's less of a clash. There's less room for nullification, and it's harder to nullify it. We're going to explain all this in a minute. That's the first part of the Mishnah. Second part of the Mishnah, lahakul lahachmer, min v'sheinu mina. At times, you can go both ways. Take it, you know, l'kula, take it l'chumra. That's when it's min v'sheinu mina, two types of materials mixing with each other. Uketani seif, and the Mishnah continues to explain these two halachas. And first focuses on the second halacha of min v'sheinu mina, where there are two different, you know, flavors. Ketz, lahakul lahachmer, min v'she'ene mina ketzat. Give me an example. Let's play it out. A case where it's min v'she'ene mina, and at times we go l'kula, we say it's batel. At times we go l'chumra. The criterion here is the factor to reckon with is flavor. Okay, ketzat. So, for example, let's play it out. Grisen shenisbashlu, so you have grisen, beans of truma, shenisbashlu im ha'adoshem, will cook together with lentils of chulin in the same pot. What's the determining factor? Flavor. If you feel the truma, the whole thing is us, otherwise it's okay. Even if you don't have 100 times as much, which Rashi brings based on the safri, based on the pasuk, is really the standard formula regarding bittel of truma. You need 100. It's based on a pasuk. It says, "Mikol chelba yes migdash shoymi menu." What was taken out of the rest of the supply. So we're talking about truma's maser, which is a tenth of the tenth of the entire supply, which is really 100, and fell back in. It forbids the entire mix because it's you don't have 100 over the truma's maser. But if it's 100 versus 1, right? Only if it's 99 versus 1, it's a problem. But let's say you have more than that. You have 100 portions of permissible material versus the single portion of truma, then it's batal. So we learn that truma needs 100 plus the truma, which is a total of 101. But in this case, explains Rashi, since it's not really intact, it was cooked together, it's, you know, it's dissolved, and it's just a question of time, of flavor. So here, it's all about whether the flavor is still present. Forget numbers, right? The Gemara later will say, obviously there was some sort of numbers, 60 or, you know, something to nullify the flavor. But you certainly don't need 101. Okay, so again, grease and shinspashlam adoshim, you have the two types of beans cooked together. Yesh bahem benoise and tam. The truma has the ability to give off flavor on the rest, it's discernible on the rest, and it's also irrespective of numbers. Bein yesh bahem lahalois bemeh ve'echad weather. There's enough material to overwhelm the truma with a total of 101, 100 versus 1. You don't have 101. Asr, it's still asr because of the flavor that's present. Ein behen b'nei sentam. On the flip side, there isn't enough truma to give off flavor on the rest. So then, again, disregard the numbers. Bein sheyesh behen lahalos b'mei ve'echad. Whether you have the numbers of 101 to be mevatel the truma or not, bein ein behen lahalos b'mei ve'echad. You don't have 101. It's okay. It's mutter. Now, fine, you don't have 101, but what do you have? Something overwhelmed the flavor. I mean, if it's not the thermal, there must have been a large amount of material there that sort of watered down that flavor, right? Ein behen lahalis b'meh ve'echad. You say there is no shear of 101. Elbamai, what do you have? What numbers did you have? La b'shishim, let's assume it's 60, which is the gold standard for bittel of time. When it's 60 versus 1, we assume the time is undiscernible. Okay, so what do we see here? That the standard bittel happens at 60. That's the kasha on that shita, which told us yesterday you need 100 to be mevatel anything. Return time and base. Lai b'meya. The Mishnah is talking about 100. You did have 100. Says Zimmer, what do you mean? But I thought you don't need 101 when there's no flavor. 101 was needed in the first part of the Mishnah when it's the same material and it's all different system. There's no clash, there's no challenge. There you need to really overwhelm it with numbers. Here it's just about flavor. From a duration with Meyahavi, once the ratio requires 100, yeah, because that's min b'minoi. Right? Not reckoning with flavor there. But the seifa, the second part, which is talking about a flavor issue, apparently you don't need 100. That's the whole point of the Mishnah. B'shishim, 60 should be enough. And you're telling me that even in the seifa you need 100? The tani ratio, let's take a look at the ratio, meaning the Mishnah goes ahead and explains that first part, that first halacha. Tani ratio, lahachar minu minu kate, said when it's minu minu, the same type mixing together, it's not a question of flavor, because the same flavor. There you have to use numbers to overwhelm it. It's going to be l'chumra until you have the numbers. Ketzad, okay, let's play it out. So'er shel chitin shenafa le'isas chitin. So'er, the sourdough of truma, which happened to be of wheat material, got mixed into a wheat dough of truma. V'yesh begdei l'chametz. There's enough flavor on the sourdough to actually ferment the dough, so it's an effective sourdough. So then numbers don't matter. It's there, it's present. Bein yesh b'kedei l'halos me be'echad, whether you have 100 portions of chulin for a total of 101. Bein ein b'kedei l'halos me be'echad, whether you don't have a total of 101. Answer. Why? Because the truma is affecting the rest, it's fermenting it, it's not going to be bottled. Ein bei lahalos b'meh ve'echad. Suppose you don't have the numbers, you don't have 101. That's also a problem. Ben Shiyesh Bekedei Lachametz, Ben Ein Bekedei Lachametz is Aser, whether or not the Truma is fermenting the rest, whether or not it's felt in the rest, it's Aser because you need the numbers. So that's a chumra, very chumra approach, that when it comes to Min B'Minay, basically you need two factors in favor, lack of flavor and the numbers. And what are the numbers? 100 plus 1, 101. And that seems to be unique to Min B'Minay. Unlike the second part of the Mishnah, which spoke about Min B'Sheni Minay, we don't seem to adopt, to apply this strict formula to Min B'Sheni Minay. Reisha V'Seifa B'Meya? And you're telling me that the numbers match, are applied equally in the Reisha and the Seifa? So just like in the Reisha, Bamin Bamina, you always need 101. In the Seifa as well. Whereas Min B'Sheni Minay, where seemingly the Mishnah is highlighting a leniency. That if there's a nullification on taste, there's no flavor being discerned, that you don't need 101. And you tell me you do? Says the Gemara, they're very close. There's one number off, one number difference here. Loi, no. Reisha b'mei v'echad, v'seifa b'mei. When we say in the Sefer there's no flavor, it's not because it was overwhelmed by 60. 60 is not enough. You need 100. 100 plus the Isser for a total of 101. And the Reisha were more strict. We bump it up one notch, one number, a total of 102. So since it's Min B'Minay, you need more. You need 101 portions of Heter versus the single portion of Isher, a total of 102. You know, 100 is like a full number, 10 times 10, that really overwhelms it. That's good enough for Min B'Sheni Minay. But Min B'Minay, you need more than that, even one further. Says the Gemara, why would that, you know, how could that really make the difference? B'Chiyesh B'Kdei Lachametz. So in the Reisha, we're talking about sourdough fell into the dough. We say, okay, Yesh B'Kdei Lachametz, it's having a fermenting effect. We need a total of 102. 101 is not enough, really? B'Chiyesh B'Kdei Lachametz, just because it could ferment it, B'Meya V'Chad, am I a bottle? Why isn't a bottle in a 101? You think the flavor is discernible when you have such an overwhelming number against it? Ishtik, so he didn't have an answer. Amalei, so he says to him, Dil Mashani Sar, the Chmutzei Kasha. You know, not all materials are created equal. Not all materials affect their surroundings equally. Some are more potent. Some are more acidic. Like Chasar, Chmutzei Kasha has a strong, powerful effect on its surrounding. And needs an extra, the extra number. Amalei says, you're right, actually. That character mostly just reminded me of something. A similar halacha that we find by brine, fish brine. Imagine getting rid of fresh brine, herring. It takes an effort to cleanse it, Not all numbers are created equal. Not all formulas regarding bittul are the same. It depends on the potency and the acidity and the aroma and of the material. Sharei tzir. Take a look at the tzir, fish brine. Shiurei karev l'masayim. You want to be a vatal tzir of an unkosher fish, you need close to 200. Actually, 196 to be exact, says Rashi. This now we find the Mishnah. Dog tamei tzir aser. The tzir coming out of an unkosher fish is aser. Rabbi Da'imer says, Ravias besosayim. Suppose the brine fell into a vat with kosher brine. You need two sa'ah, which is 196 times as a ravias of the unkosher material. Apparently, 60, 100, 102 is not enough. You need close to 200. Fish brine is a very powerful, acidic piece of material. So you can understand the same or likewise when it comes to sa'ar. The greater the flavor, the stronger it is, the more you need to be mevatlet. Now, just as a side point here, who's speaking here? Who's giving us these numbers? Rabbi Yehuda. And what are we speaking about? Fish juice into fish juice. Isn't that Min B'Minay? According to Rabbi Yehuda, two materials of the same type are never going to be bottle. That's his halacha, that's his shita. V'amar Rabbi Yehuda, Min B'Minay bottle. How can we nullify the unkosher fish brine by getting mixed into the shani tir. Brine is different. The zeba almo, it's just like sweat. It's just like a byproduct of the fish. It's not an actual fish material, and it's Farshim explained, it's not also min haTorah. Rashi says, Tosa says, Pirush lo also el min haRabbanan. It's not also min haTorah. It's not actual fish material. It's just like sort of a derivative. Like a sweat, and therefore it's only also min rabbanon. So we're lenient, and we allow bittul even if it's min b'mina. Ketan nishari nun. Back to the Mishnah where he cooked up the full thigh containing the gidah nasha, which is asr. So what formula do we apply? The Mishnah says kibasha b'lefes. So we have to estimate this amount of. Take a look at the gid. Evaluated size, and this amount of unkosher meat, had it been cooked into lefes, and you know, amongst the turnips, would it impart flavor? Would the flavor be discernible in the turnips? Then you know. Likewise, the gid had the same effect on its surrounding flesh and its usher. And the Mefarshim explains this is corresponds to the shishim formula, to the halach of shishim. So we need 60 times as much to nullify it. Amar afuna kibasar barashi liftos. We estimate it based on meat being cooked with the rashi liftos, the greenery, the leaves of the lefes. And Rashi explains what's the difference between the greenery and the actual vegetable itself. He says that the leaves are a bit sweeter than the rest of the plant. In which case, meat cooked along with that is more discernible than if it would have been cooked with the actual plant itself, which is more bitter. So we're being more strict here. And as soon as the meat would be discernible in these leaves, it's considered that the time is present. Now, why are we at all concerned about igiran nosha, imparting flavor? Does it even have flavor? Is it even a... something, is it even edible? Does it have flavor? Does it have taste? Mas nisn dleike haitana. So the truth is, I have Mishnah, which sort of grants, you know, food status to the gid anasha, is in disagreement with the following shita, which disagrees. Asanya, Rabbi Shmo b'noi, shel. Rabbi Yechem Rekha Omer, he says, no, ain't begidden b'nois and tam. The gid anasha has no flavor at all. It's inedible. I mean, so the Torah actually says if you eat it, you get a lav. So even though it's technically tasteless, but there is an issa for eating it. But in terms of cooking it with the other materials, there's no flavor being transported, and there's no issue of blias, of taste. So just pull it out, you know, discard of it, and the rest is okay. In fact, there was a story, Ahu, this fellow, who cooked up his giranasha in his pot with the rest, Ahud Asal Kameh de Rabbi Chanina, came to Rabbi Chanina and posed him this question. And on his way in, by the doorway, he encountered Havi Yosef, who was sitting, Rabbi Yehuda ben Barzvina, above, he was sitting at the doorway, Kinafak. So when he came back out from the Rav, Amalei, so Rabbi Yehuda asked him, what was the verdict? My Amalach, what did he tell you? Amalei, Sharinel, he says, Sharinel, he said, it's okay. Amalei, so Rabbi Yehuda sends him back inside, go back inside, Hadar, Eilil, Kamei, go back inside. And ask him the question again. So bring in the Shaila again, and presented again. Amar Surab Chanina, upon noticing the same visitor return, says, who sent you in here? Who's harassing me? Amar, man haide komit sairli, who's harassing me? Zil emile, go outside and tell the person, Laman Diyasa, the one sitting at the doorway, tell him that my verdict was purposeful. Ein begidin b'nei sentam. Again, it has no flavor. There's no issue of flavor being imported into the permissible material. There's another story, a similar story, to also come to Rabbi Ami. So when these fellows who encountered these issues came to Rabbi Ami regarding a gid that was cooked with the Mishader Lehu Lekameh de Rabbi Yisrael ben Chalov, he would send them to the next Rav. Why? Because he knew that the other Rav, Rabbi Yisrael ben Chalov, would issue a lenient verdict. Mishum, he would be quoting Mishum de Rishum Alevi, who says that a gid has no flavor, there's no issue of time. But truthfully, Rabbi Ami himself did not maintain that position, so he didn't want to impose his chumrah on his petitioners. He sent them to the Rav, who he knew had a lenient approach. And actually, that's the conclusion. The halacha l'maisa is, in begidin leisan tam, gidin have no ability to impart flavor. Now, there's one catch here. Rashi says, so good, you cook up the gid with the rest, that's okay, you're safe, but that's only if the gid itself is what's at issue here. But if there's the shuman, right, we learned the other day that the gid has some sort of fatty material alongside it, that certainly has flavor, has tam, which it gives off. So we're talking that he cleansed, he extracted the shuman. All that's left is the dry, you know, just the actual vein. Okay, that's not an issue. But the shuman itself would impart flavor, would be problematic. Tosfos disagrees. We know that shuman is only asur midrabbanan. He says, look, we're not going to be more machmer on the secondary element of the gid anoshim more than the primary element. The primary element has no tam, there's not an issue. Likewise, the chacham will not be machmer and reckon with the shuman. Interesting machlokes. Okay, let's just recap today's daf. Typically, Isser is batal either b'shishim or according to one shita b'meya, which are learned respectively from the halacha of the zroya that's cooked together with the el nazir. There are some exceptions there. According to one shat in the Gemara, that we allow for bittel to take place by karbonites, which is unusual. In any case, we had a kasha on the shita that says bittel needs 100 from the Mishnah here. The conclusion was that the standard bittel is 100. The Mishnah is talking about 101, 102. Ultimately, we had a discussion regarding whether or not all the gid poses a problem when cooked with the permissible material, and the conclusion was ein begidim reisin tam. Okay, thanks for joining today. All the best to you, and atzlacha rabba.